a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" In other words, Jesus, what does that mean? Verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Verse 15. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Supporting scripture coming from Galatians 6 and 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The base of those verses, we like to use a thought of subject this morning, the rewards of sowing good seeds. The rewards of sowing good seeds.
They were sounding so good. I'm just listening. I forgot all about getting ready. Hallelujah. I thank God. I'm excited about how good God is and the changes that God helped to make in our lives, and then to just see when God is doing something in your life, the joy that you have in serving God. As Gloria was singing and I was watching my brother over there, and my brother was clapping. My brother can clap with the best of them. Hallelujah, Jesus. Every clap, he was feeling every move, and I was like, look at Joe, look at Joe. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You ought to get joy out of serving your God because of what he has done or is doing for you. And you can't be ashamed. You can't worry about who watching you and who remember when, because there might have been those that were out there that just don't understand that you are glad that the Lord God brought you in and made a way out of no way. Hallelujah! We are not all lost. Thank you, God. You see, God can do what you can't do. You can't make your family love God. You can't make your family live for God. But you can walk right. You can pray right. And God will do what needs to be done in everyone's life. If you are praying for somebody this morning, don't stop praying. And the good thing that we need to understand and advise the enemy is that you might not be perfect, but you can still pray. And God will hear. God will hear your humble cry. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Whenever we pray one for another, that's another way of sowing good seeds. Because it's not all about you. You know, I thank God for salvation, and I've been saved a long time, but I hadn't been perfect. I've been falling, but I've been thanking God that I could look up to those hills and get back up. Hallelujah. Anybody in here know what I'm talking about? We in the midst of a folk that feel like that you always been saved and everything is all right. But how many of you know that even after having salvation, you still need a daily talk with the Lord? You still need an occasion of going back to the altar and laying some things down and say, "Lord, here it is one more time." Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We got a lot to be happy about this morning because it wasn't because of our goodness. It wasn't because of our change of mind. It's just that God is God. And he intended for us to be blessed. He made and created us to be a blessed people. So why are we so excited sometimes? Or why do we think that it's unusual that God would do what he does? We say sometimes that he works in a mysterious way. But after we walk with him for a while, we find that it's not so mysterious. That's just the way God works. It's just that we don't have the mindset or the intellect to comprehend all of the things that God is able to do. And then we have to look in the Word of God. And the Word of God says that God has plans and purposes for our lives. And sometimes we are aware of it, and sometimes we just don't know. So what we try to do is live by the Word of God so God can teach and educate us as to what he would have us to do. All of us in here have been gifted by God. And we all have some particular gift that God would like for us to use and utilize that gift for kingdom building. We got to know that when God has blessed you, and I thank God for what is happening in the midst of us. Sometimes we just look at it and we talk about, oh, they're doing a good job. But what you have to know is the inner part of that is that there's some growth going on. There's some understanding. There's some obedience going on. There is a change of mind that if I apply myself and if I work on something, I'll get better at what I do. So I thank God that I can look and hear and know that these men have been working with these choirs because they are doing what God would have them to do. So I commend them, and I thank God for their patience and for the gift that God gave them that they didn't give us. So it takes all of our gifts working together for one cause, and that cause is for kingdom building. It's not about me. It's not about Fowles Chapel. It's not about that person across the street, but it's all about trying to make it through the gate. Hallelujah, Jesus. I thank God for the Word of God, and I thank God for even being in the midst of a folk and hearing the Word of God on occasion, because I found that every preacher needs to be preached to. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. I heard a preacher last night that spoke a word that I almost preached it this morning. I wrestled with that thought. Hallelujah. They may get it in New Jersey unless God changes something. But you know, that's what you do when you go and you hear a testimony or you hear a sermon or you hear just certain points. And something in there will just sort of trigger something when you're in ministry down on the inside. You don't necessarily have to be a preacher to get a message. There are times when God's small, still voice speaks to you and tell your baby this, to tell your son this. That small, still voice knows what all of us need. So we are thankful that God is just that kind of God, and he'll do what nobody else can do. I found out that we are here only by God's grace and by his mercy, and we ought not take it lightly that God has allowed us an opportunity to come together in the land of the living to share the love of Jesus one more time. We are here this morning with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are here with family members and friends. We are here in the midst of a people that declare, I love God. And in loving God, we are trying to learn more as to what God would have us to do. That God I'm talking about is the same one that sustained and kept us throughout another week's journey. And now we are praying and we are at the start of another week. So we are asking God, continue to do what you've been doing. We ought to be about our Father's business this morning, doing what the Lord would have us to do, knowing that the Word says that work while it is day. For night cometh when no man is able to work. So let us be mindful and be obedient to the Word of God that tells us to love ye one another. Jesus said, as I have loved you. And then God says that we need to love him with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, and with all of our strength. And then he takes it even a step farther and says, love your neighbor as you do yourself. So it's almost like saying that you got to love when you can't do nothing else. You ought to be able to love. Love can change some things in your life. Now, how many of you will agree this morning that there is no other power greater than the power of God? That there's something about God's power that makes a difference in our life. When we take time to just think about his marvelous works and look and see all of his mighty works and how God has blessed us. It doesn't take very much to see God in his awesome power. Have you ever looked out on a beautiful sunny day and realized just how beautiful the sky looks when it's just all cloud free and clear? You know how it is sometimes when you step outside and it's sunny on the outside and you look up and it's just a beautiful day. And something down on the inside makes you appreciate just who God is. Or think about that unique smell of a spring rain shower. You know how it is when you're outside and all of a sudden it just began to rain just a little bit and you can smell the rain. And there's something about that smell that has, it's a unique odor, but it's a freshness there. It's something that reminds you that there is a higher power. And then if you've ever been to look at the oceans and the seas, and you look out as far as you can look, and all you can see is water. When you look at the vastness of the water, and as far as I can see, it's just water and sky and clouds. And you just think about it, of all that I see, look at how powerful God is. And this is just what I can see from here. And I only can see a certain amount away, a certain distance away, but all I see, God did it. So now that begins to make me realize just how powerful God is. And now we know that God has a thing that it just moves us right along the way. Time waits on no man. So now we switched over. We're moving out of summer and getting into fall. So just think about riding up through the mountains. And as you go down through the Blue Ridge, and it's getting autumn time now. And very soon it's going to be fall. But as you picture in your mind all of the beautiful colors of the leaves, and it's just a picture where a lot of times you'll get out of your car and go to the zone where you can look over and look at all of the beautiful sights, and all of a sudden it's something that, Charles, I just don't want to see and witness this all by myself. We in a modern day now, so we pull out our smartphone and we just snap a picture and we send it off to somebody. Say, look at the beauty that I'm looking at right now. Sometimes it's to share just how good God is. Sometimes it's just to sort of boast a little bit. Look where I am. You ought to be where I am right now. You know how it is every now and again when you see a beautiful sight and you want somebody else to enjoy that and to know this how awesome God really is. Anybody going with me this morning? Am I in this thing all by myself? Anybody ever saw the awesome power of God? Even looking at the flowers that come up out of the ground, sometimes the beauty in them would make you just take a second look and realize sometimes it didn't even make you touch it and say, is that real or not? God has that kind of power. So when I look at the awesome power of God, I know that God is real. I know that He made all things. And then when you look at yourself, hallelujah, Jesus. God said, I made man from the dust of ground. I created them in my own image. So when you look at yourself, you ought to be glad you look like what you look like. I don't care whether you're skinny, fat, short, or tall. You are who God made you to be. And don't worry about who don't like what size you are. If you trim off, somebody not gonna like that. You put on some weight, somebody not gonna like that. So you don't really worry about pleasing folk. You gotta learn how to please God. We too busy trying to jump the ship to try to please somebody. Hallelujah, it is what it is. Hallelujah. What I was gonna preach. What I was going to preach is what you see is what you get. Now, it does not go with this context, but it just fell right in where I'm at right now. So you have to understand that that's the way God works. That's the way God works. God is not a program God. God, even though God is a God of order, He does not insist that we go by the printed program. There are times when the printed program don't know that the Spirit of God done stepped in, and the Spirit of God don't want you to do this right now. The Spirit of God wants you to work out on what you're doing. So you got to learn how to see the difference, to feel and discern the Spirit of God, and then walk by God's Spirit. God will do what He needs to do because He's a great God. He's a loving God. He's a merciful God. And the God that I'm talking about, how many of you know He'll meet you where you are? See, somebody's trying to get closer to God. Somebody's trying to live a better life. But how many of you are glad that God can still meet you exactly where you are? See, wherever you are right now, God is able to do something in your life. Wherever you are right now, the enemy may have turned his back on you and society may have closed the door on you. But God has a power to open up every door. There is no door that God cannot open up. The Bible declares that you have not because you ask not. Sometimes you got to say, Lord, open up the door. Lord, get the enemy off my case. Lord, tell the devil he's nothing but a lie and the truth is not in him. Lord, help me know that I am somebody. And I'm going to declare the word of God regardless of what anybody thinks. For the Bible declares, obey God rather than man. That's what you got to do. That's what I got to do. Every one of us are trying to work out our own soul salvation. We're trying to do what we can for the Lord while we can. Now let us move on. Talking about sowing seeds. And then the seeds that will allow us to be worthy of rewards at harvest time. Even though it's still hot on the outside, we know that autumn is here. We know that things are going to change in just a couple of weeks. Those of us that know anything about breaking up ground and planting seeds, anybody in here ever, crazy question I'm asking, I got a halfway out there. Anybody in here ever planted some seeds? Some of us never touched the dirt with our hands. We didn't walk on it. We don't get down in the dirt. But I'm glad that somebody don't mind getting in the dirt. I'm glad that somebody don't mind tilling the soil, turning up some things. And those of you, Brother Davis, that do those types of things, I know you find worms and rocks and sticks and all kinds of stuff under the earth. And so when we think about planting seeds, when we look at most of the time, springtime. But now, a planter knows that not only in the spring, but there are different times of the year that you can plant all kinds of seeds. So now, when you plant your seed, you got to understand that you are expecting the Lord to give us sunshine and to give us rain. And after so much sunshine and so much rain, those seeds will spring up and bear fruit. So we find ourselves enjoying the fruits of our labor. Now, a good planter has a good harvest. We have more than enough. So because that good planter has more than enough and that good planter has a good heart, he or she will give to those that are less fortunate. He would give to those that don't have fresh tomatoes or cucumbers or have a head of cabbage that came out of the garden. He would give to those that love it in the fall, in the winter of the year to go out and get some good old collard green. Ain't nothing like a fresh of good collard green that you know came up out of somebody's garden. No, don't get them greens and mess them up. Sometimes if you pick the greens or you get the greens and you don't know what to do with them, take them to somebody that know what to do. Shame before God to mess up God's good greens like that. You got to take care of your harvest. Got to know that harvest will feed somebody when they get hungry. So you got to learn that when I sow my seeds that I'm looking for a harvest. Now, look at this thing. Now, we got to understand that there are times that we got to understand what true seed planting is all about. Now, this morning, painted a little picture for you, but that ain't the seed that I want you to deal with. I want you to deal with planting some seeds that's going to give you some rewards in glory. Not talking about feeding you when you get hungry. Not talking about the excess that you may have. And the thing in that is that when you got a big harvest, if you don't use it, it's going to do nothing but rot and decay anyway. So that's a good thing to have a heart to give it away, because it's better to give it to somebody that can use it than to just let it rot. So now you got that picture, get this one. The Bible says, if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Now, we are taught, think well of yourself. We are taught that if don't nobody else like you, love yourself. We are taught that if don't nobody want to deal with you, it'll still be all right. But now, when we have been taught to think well of ourselves, we also are taught to not think more of ourselves than we are. Anybody know any folk like that? You get a little bit of religion or a little bit of money or a little bit of leadway or a little bit of authority, and you get the big head. Anybody know folk with the big head? So sometimes your head gets so big, there's not a hat to fit it. Y'all walk around bareheaded. But if you learn to stay humble, you see, the Bible says when you get the big head, read the book. For if you think yourself to be something, when you are nothing, you deceive yourself. So in other words, if I think that I'm all of that, it don't make there no difference. Whether I am or whether I'm not, it's not going to change his life. But what is going to happen is if I'm thinking more about myself than I ought, I'm the one that's going to be deceived. Because when I step in the room because I'm all of that and a bag of chips, I expect folk to jump to my call. But how many of you know when you walk in there, you just like anybody else? You got to wait in line just like everybody else. They don't care what church you pastor. It's not preaching time. You better get in line like everybody else. That's why I learned where I am when I'm in certain places where folk want to give you a little leeway. You better take it while you can. So the Bible says, let every man prove his own work. Then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. If your load is heavy, a lot of it is because what you put on your own shoulders. So you got to bear your own load. If that load had become a burden, then you got to bear that burden. But now if you are a believer, then you know that God said, bring all your burdens to the Lord. And leave them there. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. But now look at this. Paul says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So in other words, Paul is saying, don't fool yourself. You can't fool God because God sees everything you do. God hears everything you say. God is even powerful enough and he's intelligent enough to even know your very thoughts. So those times when you said that I almost said this, well, you still ought to pray in the house. Because God heard what you were thinking about. Anybody know that you can't get away just because you didn't open up your mouth? You got to pray to God for the thing that I think wrong. For the times I look out of my eyes at my brothers and sisters in a wrong manner. The time that I look at folk with a judgmental spirit. Any of us ever? Oh, yeah. We ever do that? It don't take much to judge somebody. You can look at somebody's hair. I don't like the color of your hair. That's judging. So don't be so quick to say, I don't do. There's something we do that we're not aware that we do because we do it so much we take it for granted. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So now, what Paul is saying, Paul says that don't try to fool God. Don't fool yourself. For whatever you do towards others, that same thing is going to come back at you. In other words, it's just like the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Modern day terms say what goes around comes around. So now the Bible said that he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. See, when you sow to the flesh, you're selfish, and you're always about self. You're always about material things. You're always about prosperity. You know, that there's a thing that God wants us to have, but God don't want us to have the mindset that I'm always, everybody gonna be rich. If everybody was gonna be rich, why so many of my folk died poor? And I know they love God. I know they walk on the side of God. So why is it that there's some of us have and some of us have not? But you got to understand, whether you're one of the haves or the have-nots, you are still somebody. Because if I don't have material things, if I got Jesus, I got something that's going to work out for my good. I know that when I talk about sowing seeds, then we got to realize that we got to be aware that the present time right now, this is seed sowing time. Well, I'm not talking about when I was talking with Brother Davis, where you got to know and you got to know what to plant and when to plant it. So we're not talking about putting seeds in the ground. We're talking about the seeds that come out of our mouths and out of our hearts and out of our minds, and to let us know that we got to plant the right kind of seeds. If you plant them to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. But if you plant it to the Spirit, God said that you will reap life everlasting. Then the Bible said, be not weary in your well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. So I got to learn that when I start sowing my seeds, that everything is going to work out for my good. Why? Because I am a child of the Almighty King. But I got to know something about the seed sowing thing. You got to understand that God wants you to sow the right kind of seed. He wants you to not go around having a whole lot of excuses. We always got an excuse why we can't do what God wants us to do. A lot of us will say that I'll be with you. Then when God needs somebody, you got something else to do. Isn't it amazing how something just come up out of nowhere? Oh, we got a meeting to attend. We got some kind of function that we got to be a part of. But we got to learn how to be still and let God be God and do what the Lord tells us to do. Now, we got to know that God in himself want us to begin to sow the right kind of seeds. But what we got to understand is that when you sow your seeds, they got to be sown in the right place. Because sometimes when you sow seeds, they may fall in the wrong place. The Bible said that there were much people gathered together, and they came out of every city. And after they got together, Jesus stood in the midst of them. Bible declares that he began to teach them by parable. Now, a parable is just an example, a short story of a simple way of telling you so that you can understand where the Lord was coming from. So in other words, this parable that God is using is to allow them to sort of get a visual picture of what he was saying by the words that were coming out of his mouth. So that's why sometimes we give illustrations and we try to make it as plain as we possibly can so that you can get a visual picture in your mind. So now let us picture the fact that we are looking for some rewards to come from God. And these rewards are going to come because of us sowing good seeds. But let us look at what Jesus says in his teaching. He says that a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, trodden down, and the birds of the air devoured it. So in other words, as they planted the seeds, they didn't dig deep enough to put the seeds down far enough. So when the birds flew by and saw the seeds, the birds flew down and ate the seeds up. Some fell upon a rock. And as soon as it was sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. You know how it is sometimes when you plant that seed, but it is not deep enough to get enough rooting. So when you don't get enough water and you don't get enough sun so the root can take place and grab hold, then it's going to spring up too fast and seeming like it's getting ready to grow, but it don't have enough roots in the ground, so it wilt and fall off and die. Some fell among thorns. The thorns sprung up with it and choked it. You know how sometimes you got your flower bed. You got your beautiful flowers out there, but if you don't get out there every now and again, and pull those wild weeds out. Then those weeds will get all around your flowers and choke the life out of them. That make you mad, don't it, Mom Pearl? You done got out there and did all you know how to do to have a pretty garden, and all of a sudden the weeds done took away all your labor. So you have a problem with that. But then look at verse 8. And others fell on good ground, sprang up, bear fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried. Jesus said, he that have ears, let him hear. You got to hear what thus said the Lord. Jesus said, I just told you some things about what you got to do when you began to sow your seeds. But the disciples said, Lord, I don't know what you're talking about. I want to know this morning, what does this parable mean? So the Bible said, by the wayside, they that hear cometh the devil. And the devil will take away the word out of their heart, unless they believe what God has said and be saved. They that on the rock, that which have hear and receive the word with joy, but they have no root, for which while we believe. In a time of trouble and temptation, you'll find yourself not being able to hold on and hold out. You better learn how to trust the power of a mighty God. Even though there may be thorns along the way, where you're hurt and you go forth and they began to choke off because of the cares of the world. I stopped by to tell you it's not about silver and gold, not about what you have or what you don't have. But if you just know that the power of a mighty God, God will make a way out of no way. I just want to let somebody know this morning that God wants us to start sowing good seeds. And you put your good seed down there so somebody can see the good works that you have down on the inside. A good seed is letting somebody know that you are a child of the King. A good seed is learning how to forgive one another. A good seed is going back to the bat for somebody and saying, for God I'll live and for God I'll die. I want to thank God this morning that I found out how to sow seeds in good ground. Because good ground is fertile ground. When you get in fertile ground, everything will work out for your good. Anybody know that if you got something down on the inside and you trust the power of a mighty God, God will do what nobody else can do. For the Lord God is able this morning to take your very seeds and help you to grow. God is able this morning to forgive you for all of your sins and your wrongdoing. But I just stopped by to tell somebody that if you trust the power of God, you don't have to be a farmer. You don't have to be one to know how to lay seeds. But all you got to do is just know that all you got to do is trust the power of God. Open up your heart and open up your mind. Say, but God, I want to let you know this morning that I want to trust the power of God. I want to get my reward. For I found out that if I trust God, everything is going to be all right. Sometimes you might get tired. You get me tired of doing good. You get tired of people using you. But I want to let you know that if you do what you do from the heart, and you do it because you love somebody, everything is still going to work out for your good. Be not weary in your well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Anybody been sowing good seeds? Anybody got anything to say this morning that you love God with all of your heart? I thank God this morning that God is that kind of God that'll let everything be all right. Anybody got any seeds this morning? I want to let you know this morning that if you don't have a bag of seeds, I got some seeds that you can have this morning. All you got to do is trust the power of God. God will do what nobody else can do. God will be right there. If you got a seed of love, you got to have a joy. You got to have gentleness. You got to have understanding. You got to have peace of mind. You got to know God for yourself. Somebody may say everything but a child of God, but long as you know that, you know that God is right there by your side. I'm glad that I am a child of the King. I'm glad that God is right here by our side. Anybody in the house this morning, do you want to hear God say, well done? Do you want life everlasting? See, one thing is known for a fact. You're going to die one day and leave this place. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. So you got to make up your own mind. If you go to hell, it's because of the seed that you sowed. If you treat your neighbor wrong, you're going to reap what you sow. If you're a lying man, you're going to reap what you sow. If you're a backstabber, you're going to reap what you sow. If you're two-faced and double-tongued, you're going to reap what you sow. But if you got a good mind, a man of integrity, honest in your heart, joy in your heart, peace in your mind, love in your heart, everything going to be all right. Because he is a will inside of a will. He my joy in the time of sorrow. He my joy. He my love. He my salvation. Say yes. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I thank God for my reward. Be not weary, for if you reap and faint not, you shall get what God have for you. Reaping the seeds that you sow. So if you are one of those, just have a nasty attitude, you can't treat nobody right, you don't smile at nobody, you don't embrace nobody, you know what? You're going to be. You sit by yourself. Okay. Build and start leaning, and you get ready to start moving to another home, but you ain't got no home because you didn't believe in the power of God. But if you leaning and you done built you another home, eternal in the heavens, you can fall over and die, and everything gonna be all right. You see, there gonna be times when you so selfish, you don't have time for nobody. When you need somebody, nobody's going to have time for you. So don't have that pity party. Don't come hollering out, "Well, we haven't came, them didn't come see me." Well, when the last time you came to see us? But when I need somebody, if I've sown good seeds, it might not even be the one that I bless, but God has sent somebody. And how many of you know that it don't matter who that somebody is? I don't care whether they're white, black, Chinaman, Hispanic. If they got a blessing for me, give it to me. Rewards come from sowing good seeds. So if you've been being good, keep on being good. And I'm going to say this and I'm finished. But there's some folk that have been being so good, and you about ready to throw your hands up. Hallelujah, I was almost there. But God caught me. So you better watch yourself. Look how blessed you are. You stop complaining and you praise him. You stop worrying about what you thought you were doing and know the only way you could do it, I had to do it for you first. So you are a blessing to be a blessing. Do what you can while you can. Because if you sow them good seeds, hallelujah, when you need a harvest, God will send someone to your rescue.